I would say I'm glad you're here, but if you're here, I don't know. It's not a thing to be happy about, right? So I don't know if many of you know me. Some of you are new. How many in here for this workshop, this is your first time at the retreat? Oh, wow, look at all of you. Wow, okay. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself then. My name is Lois Bright, is how you pronounce my last name. And I work as a U.S. missionary with the Assemblies of God, two single moms. So I actually travel all across the country and speak at events for single moms and help churches organize events for single moms and give them information and resources to do that. We've also started a website called singlemamas.org, and you can go to that or our Facebook page. And there's resources. We have podcasts that we've been doing, especially this last year when everything was shut down and we couldn't go anywhere. So there's a number of podcasts, and one of them actually covers some of this topic. So you might want to take a look at that, and you can see it either just type in my name or go to Single Mama's Facebook page, and you can be part of that. So I want to talk about this topic a little bit because I know it's something that affects many people, and there's all kinds of forms of abuse that you can go through. You know, there's physical abuse, obviously, and emotional and spiritual abuse. So we're going to talk about a few of those things, but we're going to highlight gaslighting because I think that's a really important factor that affects many of us and we don't even know it. So I want to open just with a word of prayer first. Father, I just thank you for your presence here at this campground and in this retreat, Lord. I pray for your anointing that you help me to speak the words that you want me to speak, Lord. It doesn't matter what's on this piece of paper, Lord. I want you to use me to speak to the women that are here today. I just ask for your presence here and your blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So to talk about gaslighting, who knows what gaslighting is? Okay, who doesn't know what it is? Okay. It actually, isn't it an odd name? The name of it comes from a 1944 movie that was done. And there was a play, and then they made a movie, and it was about a husband who was technically trying to drive his wife crazy. And they had gas lamps, and he would flicker them and turn them off and on, and she'd say, the lights are flickering, or the lights went out. And he's like, no, they didn't. You're just imagining that. And the whole movie is about how he is manipulating and maneuvering and getting her mind basically to think she's going crazy. And that can happen with a relationship, but it can happen with friends and it can happen with bosses as well. So if you got the handout, did y'all get a handout? If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand and they can give you a handout if anybody has those handouts. There's a few ladies down here that didn't get the handout, so if you can bring those down to them, that would be awesome. And that's going to list some of the things I'll talk about as far as the signs of gaslighting and what that means. But it is a form of emotional abuse, and it's called a sneaky form of emotional abuse because we don't realize it's happening. And thank you for bringing those down for them. And you just really get to a point of questioning your own sanity. For those of you that don't know me, I raised my 5 children as a single mom. My kids were 2, 5, 7, 9, and 11 when my husband left, and we had nothing. I had literally 15 cents to my name. I didn't have a car. We lived in the suburbs. It was like nothing, and I was really broken and had no idea what I was going to do, where I was going to go, how I was going to raise these kids who were a total wreck, and I was a total wreck, and I'm looking at 15 cents and 5 kids thinking, what on earth am I going to do here, God? And so the process of going through that healing took a while, but I wanted to talk about this particular thing because how it's just so sneaky. I guess that's the best word when they use that on the internet to say you don't realize that it's happening to you. And it's like if you've ever been made to feel like you're too emotional or that the things you believe that are true, are they really true or not? You doubt yourself constantly. If you find yourself doubting yourself, and if someone who has constantly made you feel anxious or question your sanity, those things could be from the fact that somebody's been gaslighting you. And it's just such a stupid term. I hate to even use the word gaslighting because it just sounds dumb. But that's the term that's used, so that's the term we're gonna have to use. And sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. Mostly it is. Mostly they know exactly what they're doing because it's a form of manipulation. And it's not easy to detect because they just, it just undermines. You know, when I first, when my husband first left, I went to this church. It was a new church, and I just felt that I knew that God was the only answer for my family. We were so broken and such a mess. I thought the only possible hope is God has got an answer for us somewhere. So I would go to the church, and nobody knew me because it was new. And I remember, you know, how if you've been in church, how they have the prayer people even here. You've got people you can go up to for prayer. And so I went up to this person, and I said, they said, well, how can we pray for you? And I said, well, I don't really want you to pray for me. I just want to know if you know a good psychiatrist because I know I'm losing my mind. And that's how I felt, but I didn't know why I felt that way. I just knew that I questioned everything, and I didn't know it was true anymore, and it was just like, I'm going crazy, but I don't know why, and I don't know what to do about this. And so I liked her statement earlier about, you know, if you think you're going crazy and ask the question, you probably aren't going crazy, because I knew there was something wrong, but I couldn't pinpoint what it was. So some of the signs I want to go over, if you have the sheet there, you can have it. And I wanted you to have this to take home with you. And I put some of the websites on there so you can look some more up on your own as well. But it's that you're no longer feeling like the person that you used to be. That's a big sign. It's like, what happened to you? Where's the me? Where's that fun-loving person I used to be? Where's that person that used to hang out with a bunch of friends and now my world has gotten so small? What happened to me? That is a sign that you might be gaslighted because you've been isolated and you question everything. Being more anxious and less confident than you used to be. Often wondering if you're being too sensitive. Oh, you're too sensitive. You probably have heard those words. You're just overreacting. Feeling like everything you do is wrong. Do you blame yourself for everything? That's a sign. If you're blaming yourself for everything. Apologizing often. I know I had a friend that everything she did, she was saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We shouldn't have to say I'm sorry for everything that we do. There are things we do need to apologize for, that's for sure, but not that many. Having a sense that something is wrong, but being unable to identify what it is. That's a really key one, because you know in your gut that there's something wrong, but you can't figure out what it is. Often questioning whether your response to your partner is appropriate, wondering if you were too unreasonable or not loving enough. Making excuses for your partner's behavior. That's a big one. Avoiding giving information to friends or family members. Sorry, these allergies. To avoid confrontation about your partner. So you just don't tell anybody what's going on. Our world gets smaller and the secrets get bigger and they get more hidden and they get more buried and you don't dare share with anybody. Feeling isolated from friends and family. Finding it increasingly hard to make decisions. Feeling hopeless and taking little or no pleasure in activities you used to enjoy. You know, that it's hard to make decisions. I still struggle with that. Even after all this time, I still question myself, like, is this the right decision? Is this good? Is this going to have a bad result? And I just have to say, whoa, wait a minute. That I don't have to go back to that place. But we can get stuck in that. And the techniques that an abuser uses is denial. The abusive person denies that they said something, even if there's proof. Remember how she said, now I'm not saying this is an abuser, but how she was saying her daughter is like, pick up your clothes. These are your clothes in the bathroom. Pick them up. And they're like, no, those aren't my clothes. And you're like, well, yeah, they are your clothes. But the subtle things in a relationship that are like that, where you say, well, you said this or that, and they're like, well, no, that never happened. And you're like, well, yeah, it did. Even, you know, maybe somebody else heard it, but they will deny it constantly. And so you, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I did hear it wrong. Maybe I understood it wrong. And we go back in this cycle again, because you know what? We're trusting. You should trust your partner. You should trust your spouse. And so it's our nature, especially as women, to do that. And it's like, well, why would they say this if it isn't true? Why would they do this? And we're looking for the why. And so we blame ourselves. I must be doing something wrong. And they know this, and they use that against you. They lie about you. They tell lies and act shocked if you confront them with the truth. People who gaslight victims are generally not sneaky about their lies, but rather tell lies with such fervor and such power that, you know, you don't even want to question it. You just, how can you doubt them? Because they aren't pretending. hey, their lies are bold lies. And that's hard to stand up against because, again, we question ourselves. Well, they're so sure, and I'm so unsure, so they must be right, and I must be wrong. And these are all these little things that take place. Fake praise. A person who gaslights another will often use fake praise or acts of appreciation, leaving you wondered if they are truly abusive or just misunderstood. Because they can be really kind and nice. They don't have to be physically abusive at all. But they are emotionally and mentally breaking you down day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year to get you just where they want you to be. Projection is the other one. This is the act of accusing someone else for your own shortcomings. So, like, if they're having an affair, they're going to start accusing you of having an affair. If they are lying about stuff, they're going to say you're lying about stuff. And they project on you what they're doing. And they're very convincing. Manipulation. People who are gaslighters are typically master manipulators. But they don't appear to be manipulators. That's the hard part, is they don't. To other people and to you, they don't. I mean, you can tell when somebody's really manipulating you, but this is so subtle you can't tell. It just sneaks right in there. For instance, a gaslighter might tell you things to make you think that others don't really care about you. They might just say it. Well, that friend doesn't care about you, or they don't really like you. And again, it makes your world smaller. They're taking away friendships. They're taking away relationships so they can have more control over you. It's all about control. Let's see. And they isolate. That's one of the things that they want to do. You know, this sounds like a really terrible, evil person, but it's really a person who has their own issues. And they have learned to do this to control their world. And that's why I said they aren't always doing it intentionally. There are some that do, but there are some that don't even realize they're doing it. It has become their way of living and to control things and to be in charge. And so it's hard to recognize it. And if you've been a victim of this, and I don't like to even use the word victim because that always makes me feel like we have no chance of recovery. I don't know. I just don't like the word victim because I think we're stronger than that. We can have been hurt and we can have suffered, but a victim to me feels like somebody who has no voice anymore. And we have a voice, ladies. We have choices that we can make. But you may need counseling. And you know, Terry, I think, that just spoke would be a good source to find counseling in your area. I'm sure she knows people if you need help with that, because it's really hard. And as women, you kind of hold on to hope and you stay with this person because, first of all, you think everything is your fault. And secondly, you're thinking they'll change if you do everything just right and do things the way they want. This person will change, but they're not going to change because this is a mental illness on their part, whether they recognize it or not, and they aren't going to change. They may through counseling, but for the most part, it's part of their nature. It's who they are, and it's very difficult for them to change. It's very rare that they change because it's a personality disorder. So you need to seek help for yourself. And in Psychology Today, which is another footnote that I put on there today, this is the damage that is done to us if you are under the influence of somebody who has been gaslighting you. And it's so true. It violates trust. It upends a person's view that people are generally good. So you don't trust people. You don't look for the good in them. You look for what's their angle. What are they after? That becomes your nature when you're part of this. It makes you just suspicious of everybody. It erodes a person's trust in themselves. Again, you don't trust yourself. You don't trust your judgment. You don't believe you're going to make the right decisions. You second guess yourself all the time. I always say it makes me so frustrated because just men in general will make a decision, and once the decision's made, it's done, and they don't think about it anymore. Well, we make a decision as women most often, and then we're up all night thinking, was that the right decision? Should I have done that? Maybe I should have made this decision instead, and how is this going to affect my kids? And we worry the thing and want to change our mind 10 times, but men's minds don't work that way. They make a decision, and it's done, and they don't think about it anymore. Well, then you add into that this gaslighting, and we're even more... I mean, we become self-haters. We hate ourselves because we don't think we can do anything right, and we're never going to get out from under this. And that's not what God wants for us. And it's going to affect all of your relationships. If you've been isolated, if you're living in isolation and you feel your world has gotten small and your friendship circle has gotten so small, a lot of that comes from the mistrust that you have for people and the suspicion that you have and the hurt that you've gone through. And you really need to begin to break out of that in whatever small way you can. If you can join a small group, if you can find a hobby and go to a community center, something that's going to break you out of that world of isolation, because the more you're in isolation, the more the things Terry talked about are going to work in your mind, and it's going to go over and over and over, and you're going to feel these feelings of self-doubt and self-hatred and self-blame, and it just takes you down the spiral into depression. Maybe some of you have felt that. I don't know. I know I was gaslighted, but I had no idea. I'd never heard the term. I didn't know what it was. The first time I heard it, that's that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. What in the world is that even about? But I knew I had no confidence. I still don't. I still struggle with it. Well, I speak all over. And when God called me to be a speaker, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. This is the last thing I want to do. I do not like to be in front of people. I do not want to speak. And the only reason I can do this and do what I'm doing is because I know the power of God to transform lives. I know the power of God to heal hearts. I know the power of God to take me from a place of complete brokenness, thinking I had lost my mind, to a place of being able to raise my kids in a home with love and care and not having to deal with all of that stuff. All five of my kids know the Lord, and four of them are in ministry. And that's not because I'm anybody great. It's because God can take our brokenness when we turn to Him and let Him heal our hearts. And that's the only reason I can speak, because I still am a nervous wreck when I have to speak, let me tell you. As much as I love all of you and love praying with you, to speak is like, okay, I can do it. I actually, years ago, before my divorce, I had a woman in our church, and she had a prophecy for me, and it was, I'm taking you from the shifting sand and placing you on the solid rock. And I had no idea what that was about at the time, because I thought my life was pretty good at that time. But boy, after I went through all of this and came through all of it, it's like I was on the most shaky sand and had no idea what was going on. But being on the solid rock, which is Christ, made all the difference in the world and bringing healing to me and to my family, because my kids were as much of a wreck as I was. And they need to learn new ways of thinking too, because they have seen your reactions when you've been gaslighted, and it affects them as well. And so we need to take these steps to change it. And some of the things, I want to just mention a few of the things that we can do. And it's starting to trust with small prayers. Just begin to pray and ask the Lord for these small things. And as you see Him answer those little prayers, it builds your faith and it builds your trust that, okay, now I can ask Him for a little bit more. And it's a process, and it's a step-by-step, and it's like you don't go from here to here. I wish that would happen. I mean, I sat and waited for the big zap for like a year. It's like, God, just fix this mess. You know, I believe in you. Just fix it. Fix this person. Fix me. Fix it. You know, the big zap. Just take care of it. But in reality, we have to make choices. We have to take steps. Sometimes they're baby steps. Sometimes we go back because we kind of messed up a little bit. But keep taking those steps forward. But start out with those small things. Start talking to people. If you've isolated yourself and don't talk to people, I literally would shake being around people. I'm sure I was having panic attacks. I didn't know what a panic attack was then either. And it was like, I'm sure I had panic attacks because I would have to express myself to people, or they were around me and that's all it took. So take those small steps towards wholeness. Trusting in the Word. Read your Bible. And I love YouVersion. Do you have YouVersion? If you've never heard of YouVersion app, write it down. Get it on your phone. Get it on your computer. Whatever you need to do. And at night when I can't sleep, even now, you can pick whatever scripture, they have topics, and it just reads it out loud for you. You don't even have to read. It'll just be on there for you, and sometimes that helps me go to sleep. They have great kids stories and readings for your children as well. So if you don't have that, do that, because it is hard to take time to read your Bible every day. But if you can do it, just even a couple sentences, start out in the morning, it does make a difference. I remember one time, I was going through all this and just like no confidence and scared to death and not wanting to be about people around people. And I remember I went to a conference with our pastor and his wife, and they talked me into going to this conference. It was out of state, and at the end they had prayer, and they said, well, let's go up for prayer. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. But I went up for prayer, and I have to show you what I did because this is so ridiculous. The pastor is praying for me, and he's talking about just kind of like a word over me, how much God loves me, okay? And so he's saying, oh, God loves you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like this, backing away, because I don't want to hear it. And I don't want to hear what this guy is saying, because to me, God loves me had become a danger zone because of things that had been said to me. So it depends on what has been put in your mind, how you're going to react to these things. And you're like, well, how can God's love scare you? Well, when people tell you this is going to happen to you because God loves you and it's not a good thing, it's like it scares you. So I literally was backed up with my heels over the edge of this platform with my pastor on one side and his wife on the other side. And they're saying, you're going to fall off of the stage. And I said, I don't care. I need to get away from this because I was so afraid. And that's what our mind can do if we don't understand what's happening and to break away from this stuff. And we have to break the curses of words spoken to us and words we've spoken about ourselves. Because sometimes words have been spoken to us that are curses. They're saying how bad you are, how stupid you are, how you're a bad mom, how you can't do this right, how you can't do that right. And those are curses over us that we need to break. And all you have to do is just say, no, in the name of Jesus, that is not true. And that has no power over me anymore, because the power is in our mind. And we hear those words and we have to break the power of those words. And sometimes we put them on ourselves. We call ourselves these names, and we do it. And we need to take care of it. Like, I'm crazy. I got a good psychiatrist because I know I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. Well, I wasn't going crazy, but I was definitely very confused. But those words that we speak out, and they come back, and they're in us. And so if you've spoken those things or had things spoken over you, it's just a simple prayer. Just pray and say, no, there's no power over that. In the name of Jesus, the power of those words is broken, and I'm no longer going to live under the curse of those words, because that's a curse. I mean, a curse sounds like a law. That's a church word, and you're like, what are you talking about, curses? But it's a word that's bringing defeat to you, and it's destroying you little by little, bit by bit, day by day. And you need to break the power of that thing and change your thinking. You know, recalibrate your mind. Think differently than you have been thinking. And trust just one person. You don't have to trust 10. Just find one person. And you know what? It may take a while. You may find somebody who kind of doesn't keep your confidences that said they would, and you find out and you get burned. But don't stop completely. Find somebody else that you can trust and that you can pour out your heart to, because we need to do that to build ourselves up as well. Just go slowly. You don't have to pour your guts out to everybody. I have people sometimes, even before I was doing ministry, and they'd come up and they'd tell me all this stuff, and it's like, you don't know me. And I could be blabbing this to 10 other people. And there were people that I went to that I thought I could trust, and I found out I couldn't. So, you know, you want to go back in your shell and not trust anybody again. But that destroys you. Don't do that. Look for that other person. But just share little things and see, do they keep our confidences in that? Are they trustworthy in the little things before you pour out everything to them? I'm a big believer in the prayer chains and prayer groups in churches, but not if they're the gossip line. You need to know, is it staying with those few people or not? We become very private when we've been hurt. We close down, and you don't want to share your life, and it's very, very difficult. I mean, I've been divorced for over 30 years, and I'm still very closed, and I'm still very careful about who I share things with. It's interesting. When Carol Lund called and asked me to do this workshop, I had done a podcast that kind of touched on gaslighting, and it was the one on the Battle of the Exes. Instead of, you know, in March they have March Madness, and we had March Madness, the Battle of the Exes on our podcast, and it talked about different topics with that. And so, if you want to go and look at that, you can look it up on our Facebook, but. So we had touched on it, and when Carol called and asked me about doing this workshop, I'm like, why is she asking me? I mean, she's got professional counselors that this is what they do. And I just thought, well, okay, yeah, I said yes right away. But I thought, all right. So I started studying a little bit more and getting more websites and getting more information and in depth. And as I read through these things, I thought, oh my gosh, this is still me. I'm still struggling with some of these things. This is 30 years, and I'm still having some of these thoughts controlling me because I didn't realize that they were. And having to do this brought that out to me, and it's like, I need to deal with this. And the interesting thing is that I had been praying for about 2 months before she asked me, and I said, Lord, there's an area of my life where, I mean, I've overcome this and this and this and this and this, but there's an area in my life where I'm shattered. I wasn't even broken. I said, I'm shattered. I feel like I've got a million pieces of me, and I can't put it together. And I don't know how you can even put it together, but it's this emotional, relational part of me that's been shattered, and I don't know how to fix it. And she asked me to do this workshop, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, this is it. I'm still shattered from this particular area of my life. And I don't share a lot about my personal life. I'm very close, but the Lord has really put it on my heart that I need to do this here today. And so I'm going to do it, even though I don't want to. And last year during COVID, we couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. I live by myself. My kids are all grown. I live in a different state. I live in Florida. And I met some neighbors at a board meeting. We have an association, and, you know, I met all these, the different associations came together for a meeting. And so I met somebody there, and it was a guy, and I haven't dated really. I mean, I've had guys ask me out, but it's like, nah, I just don't want to go down that road. I'm very content. I'm very happy. I don't want to go down that road. And so it was really weird because we met at his condo. And as I was leaving, I noticed, this is stupid, but I noticed that the grout on his tile was super white and mine was not. And I had a number that I was going to call the next day to see what they charged to clean grout. And I said, so who did you get to clean the grout in your place? And he said, well, I did it myself. And I'm like, how'd you do it? I've tried everything, and it just still looks icky, you know? And in Florida, you got that humidity, and everything gets moldy, and the grout gets dark, and it's just like, I'm like the clean freak, so it's like, I don't like this. And he said, well, I did this and this and this, and he's like, I'll show you if you want me to. I'm like, let's see. Let me think about this for a little bit. And my granddaughter had been staying with me last year because she started college, and it was right up the road from us. And it's like Emmanuel Christian Center has college there now. It's through Southeastern University, and it's like a quarter of the cost is going to the university, but you get all the classes. So there's one like that down by me. And my granddaughter, who her family, they're missionaries. It was her first year away from home, her first year back in the country, and so she stayed with me. So he's like, well, I'll come and show you. And I'm like, well, my granddaughter's there in the house. I don't really know this person. I guess he can come and show me how to clean grout on my tile floor. So long story short, he cleaned the grout. 3 weeks later, everything shut down. There was nothing happening in the world, and we started walking, and we just started walking our neighborhood because we were both walkers. And so for over a year, well, not over a year, probably about 6-8 months, we just would walk and do our walk and talk. And last fall, he texted me and he said, do you want to go to Texas Roadhouse for dinner? I'm like, oh, gee, that sounds like a date. So for 2 hours, ladies, I agonized over how to answer that text, do you want to go to Texas Roadhouse for dinner? And I'm like, oh my gosh, walking in the neighborhood, I can do this, you know, but going out to eat, that's a whole different story. So I'm like, oh my gosh, God, I can't do this. And it's all of these things are kind of piling on me at once. So 2 hours later, I text back and I said, well, I like taking walks with you and doing stuff, but I'm really not looking for any kind of a relationship. So if we go to eat, I'm paying my own way. Instantly, I get a reply back, okay, fine, what time do you want to go? I'm like, wait a minute, that shouldn't have been that easy. So anyway, we continued to walk and to go out and all of this. So this earlier in the year, probably around February, I really began to pray. And I thought, well, Lord, he's just a friend. And I know he's just a friend because I don't want anything more than a friend. And you're not going to change my mind on this. But I really began to pray. And at the same time, I thought, there's something wrong with me. This is when the shattered pieces came into, I'm shattered. Why is this difficult? Why can't my kids, they didn't know. I said, yeah, I walk with this neighbor once in a while. Because they're like, well, you're by yourself. And I'm like, nah, I got a neighbor I walk with. And that's it. That's all I ever said. And so my daughter came in right in December. And she's like, so do I have to meet this neighbor guy? And I'm like, nah, we're just friends. I'm not going to, no. So my son comes in February. Do I have to meet this guy that you say you take walks with? Nah, we're just friends. But in the midst of that, Carol calls me. I'm praying, God, I'm shattered. There's something broken in me that I can't admit if I even like this person. I would not admit it to myself. I wouldn't admit it to my kids. I wouldn't allow myself to go there because I was still broken. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, I can't explain it to them because they can't understand it, but I know you can understand it. And when I saw these things and I thought, God, this is still me. And I don't have to live like this anymore. I don't have to be afraid to say I have feelings. I don't have to be afraid to say it's okay for me to say I care for somebody. And this is really hard for me to do. I literally shocked everybody with my with my life here. But I couldn't admit it because there was something wrong with me. And this wasn't okay for me to be able to care for somebody. And I've been speaking and doing things for all these years, but I hadn't been challenged in this area. And so I didn't have to deal with it. And I know there's different areas that we all face at different times that we need to at some point deal with. And so once I decided that, you know, God, this isn't how you want me to live. This isn't healthy. This isn't you. This is from the past. This is from my past thoughts. And so I was up all night one time wrestling with God. You know, if you've ever read the scriptures about Jacob wrestling with God and, you know, he gets his hip dislocated and everything. And I'm not sure how that story really works, you know, but I know what it is to wrestle with God when he wants you to do something and you're fighting him on it and you're resisting what God wants you to do. And I felt I needed to talk to this man and just say, you know, here's the deal. Because I knew he cared about me a lot, but do I make up my mind I'm either not going to see him anymore because I'm not going to lead him on, or I got to make up my mind to say I really like this guy and I don't want him out of my life? And my gut said, let him go because this is way easier. My heart said, I don't want to. So anyway, long story short, I finally opened up to him about some things that I haven't talked to anybody about because nobody needs to know about it. And I'm actually going to get married, you guys, in like 2 weeks. And I can't tell you how hard it is for me to say that. So do you think there's something still a little bit wrong with me? But that's so hard. And I honestly had to one by one call my kids and say, I'm getting married. And they're like, you didn't even let us meet this person. You said you're just friends. We were there 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, I couldn't do it. That's how deep the hurt and the fear and the mental anxiety from something that was said to me 30 years ago was still affecting me. And I don't want you guys waiting 30 years to be set free. That doesn't mean you're all going to get married. I'm not saying that. But to be set free from that thing that's holding you back. I told Carol, I said, I don't want you announcing I'm getting married. I mean, I don't want to say anything to anybody. But God has put it on my heart that I need to, because he doesn't want you guys stuck like I was stuck and didn't even know I was. Didn't even know it. Because gaslighting is so subtle. It's so dangerous. It's so harmful. It's so long-lasting. But God can heal. I had a breakthrough in one night. In one night that I could say, I'm not that person anymore. I can change because God has healed my heart in this area. And there's nothing I could have done to do it. I don't know if you've heard the song Defender. If you haven't heard it, just Google on YouTube Defender, the song Defender. It is such an amazing song. And to me, it was really important. I think I have the words in here somewhere for it. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces and put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. And I love the chorus because it says, all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stay still. We just need to take time to hear God's voice and let him bring the healing that he has for each one of us. Healing is here for you even today. I'm going to talk about the cycle of abuse, but I really feel to stop right now. And I want you to just take a minute and bow your head for a second. And if you feel you've been a victim of gaslighting, that you just have felt you're going crazy, you don't trust yourself, you feel you can't make good decisions, you've had things said to you that are still in your mind and your heart, I want you to just raise your hand because I want to pray for you, yeah. Okay. We have a prayer team here, and I was going to have people come if they need prayer, and at the end, I want you to, but I'm going to pray a prayer over you because I believe this is so important to break through. Father God, I pray for each woman in this place that believes that they have been under the influence of someone who's been gaslighting them, that they have changed and warped their thinking to make them believe that they have no value, that they can't make good decisions, that they aren't a good mother, that they're going crazy. All of these things that are in the mind that are not true, Lord God. And I pray today is the day that they have a breakthrough, that they know they no longer have to live under that, God, that they are set free, that they can live, that they can breathe. It's like they can just take a deep breath and breathe in freedom, Lord God, that they don't have to be under that influence any longer. God, we thank you that you are the only one that can heal the heart and the mind. And we just ask you to come and move and heal and restore and renew and bring new life to these women in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about, how much time do I have? Am I done at 1:45? Where's my people? Where are my people? What time do I end? 11:40? I know what time it is. Is that when I'm supposed to end, or 11:45?
I'm gone, preacher. Keep going.
Okay. All right. You can get to lunch when you get to lunch. Okay, breaking the cycle of abuse, you know, whether it's physical or emotional. Whatever abuse you've suffered, God desires to heal you. You need to surround yourself with the right people, ladies. If you're still around people that are bringing you down or are part of that cycle of abuse, you need to separate from them and find new friends. And whether that's in the church, which I hope it is, because that's where we find our hope in Jesus. But it might be in a community group. It might be a hobby group. It might be whatever. But find a new circle of friends that aren't bringing you down, that aren't keeping the cycle going. You know, we can have our friends can be, and even family. Family can keep you in the cycle of abuse. You know, you listen to some of the speakers, and like Terry, I mean, from generation to generation to generation, it has to break off somewhere, and it can break off with you. It doesn't have to be your kids or the next generation that have to go through abuse, because you can break that cycle of abuse. It It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but you can do it. But you might have to change friends, and you might have to even separate from family if they are part of the cycle of abuse. Find healthy friends. Healthy friends aren't perfect friends, but look at their families and how they respond and react to one another. Look at their words that they use for one another. Get around people that have some healthy, uplifting things, and get away from those people that are into drugs and naysayers and depression, and they feed on your anger and they tell you, you got a right to be angry, you can stay angry, never forgive them, never let it go. Well, that'll eat you alive and it will keep you from moving forward. Forgiveness isn't about saying what somebody did was okay or it didn't bother you, because that's not truth. And to say forgive and forget isn't reality, because you're not going to forget. But you don't have to live in that moment over and over and over again. Forgiving releases you that their words no longer control you. What they say no longer controls what you're going to do, where you're going to go, what you're going to say, and how you're going to raise your kids. Because when you live in unforgiveness, you're still bound to them. What they say still affects you. It affects how you react to your kids. And when you say, I forgive them, it's almost the wrong word to use, but you're giving not only grace to yourself to say, I'm not affected by them anymore, but you're putting them in God's hands. And honestly, that's when God can change their lives, because you let go of it. As long as you're still in the middle of it, it's almost like Terry said about, you know, drop the bomb and walk out. Just say what needs to be said and then be quiet and leave it alone and don't get into the arguments. But let it go, because that affects you so much. So why do we return to abusers? Why do so many women go back to their abusers? I don't know if any of you have done that, but I know there's a lot of women that have. I got a message just recently after we did the Battle of the Exes. In the middle of that series, I got an email from a lady that said, you know, I'm really tempted to go back to my husband. I know it was an abusive situation, but I'm just really tempted. And he's really, you know, he's been really nice. And he's encouraging me to come back and try again. And I don't know what to do and blah, blah, blah. And so I just said, you know, people can say whatever they want. How are they living? What has changed in their life that's any different? And not for a few weeks or even a couple of months, because anybody can be nice for a short period of time to get you back. And so you can't go by that. And so she listened to the next series and she said, oh my gosh. And it was on gaslighting. She said, that's what he's been doing to me. She said, I'm not going back. She said, I need to protect me and I need to protect my kids. And so it makes a big difference. But we go back, there's a few reasons, and I put the websites on there for you guys so you can look some of this stuff up. Forgiveness, we forgive too easily sometimes, because we're like, they'll get better, it's not that bad. Oh, that it's not that bad is the worst thing you can say, because how bad is that bad? And at what point is it that bad? And abuse is abuse. Is abuse, and they aren't changing. Self-blame, again, blaming yourself, seeing everything good in them and everything bad in you, and that's a control that abusers have over you, because they try to turn it around. If only you would have, or only you wouldn't have, you made me do, blah, blah, blah. So self-blame. Unhealthy addictions can be developed where you actually develop a relationship that binds you together, and one's controlling, and then when after they abuse and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Now you're in control. And so this can be a real back and forth situation. And you can enable that cycle. Fear of the future, that's a big one, because what are you going to do if you leave? You know, how am I going to survive? How are my kids going to survive? And that's a real reality. And if you are in the place of leaving an abuser, or maybe you've just left, but if you're in the place of leaving, get things lined up first. Figure out where you're going to go and how you're going to handle things, and be prepared and have a team around you that's going to help you. Don't try to do it all on your own. And loneliness is the other reason we go back, because you're by yourself. And when you're by yourself, it's hard. You miss the companionship. You miss the intimacy. Hello, you miss the sex. And you can go back to this guy and it's not that bad and they'll be better. All these reasons and you... And we go back to a bad situation. And the sad part is you bring your kids. And your kids are so affected by this. And this is the next generation. Do you want them thinking this is what relationships look like? That's what they learn to expect. It's the same when you have There are so many generational single parents now, so many generational single moms, and moms have come to the place of thinking, this is all you expect. You don't expect a man to stay with you. You don't expect somebody to treat you well. You don't think you deserve to be treated well. And these are thinkings that you need to change, but if your kids are under that, you're teaching them those same things. So to break away from that is so important. And ambivalence, I don't know if you know what the word ambivalence is, but it's kind of like, it's kind of a yin and yang. It's like you want something, but you don't want something. It's almost like what I went through with this relationship with Ed. That's his name. It's like, I don't want a relationship at all. I don't want to go there. I'll be your friend, but that's all I'll do. But then there's that other side of like, but I really don't want to break it off because I'd really miss being with him, and I really like being with him, and I think I might be falling for this guy. And, you know, ambivalence is that back and forth of I want, but I don't want. I need, but I don't need. And so that works into staying into an abusive situation as well. You know, wanting that man, even though you know he's bad for you. You tell yourself, again, it's not that bad. I'll go back for a while. He'll be better. But don't let him talk you into a month, 2 months, whatever. I've changed. I'm better. Ladies, 99.9% of the time, it's not. It's an issue that they have that they don't even know how to overcome. Learn to be content with the situation you're in and with the friends that you have and being single. Now, you know, yes, I was single for a long time, but I was very content, and the Lord was able to use me in a lot of things because of that contentment. When you're searching for a man to fill that emptiness and to fill that love that you crave, because God made us to be loved and want to be loved, but when you're searching for a guy, you're going to go for anybody. He's going to fill that void no matter how bad he might be, and you have to be choosy because you deserve to be choosy. Every single woman in this room deserves to be treated well, deserves to be treated with kindness and honor and respect. And if you don't respect yourself and you don't think you deserve it, then you say, it's good enough. And it isn't good enough. And you put your kids in a position of being with a situation that isn't good enough. Think about your kids as well. I want to just sum up with one more thing. Recognize and admit to the abuse you've suffered. Don't remain in the abuse. Seek counsel if you need to. Godly friends. Change your friends if you need to. Don't sit on the fence between abuse and freedom and healing. Resist the temptation to return to that abusive person. Rescue your family. Break the cycle of abuse in your family. It's up to you, ladies. You can do it, and I believe in you that you can do it. I'm going to close with a prayer, and it's 11:50. I think it's just lunch after this, right? Does anybody have any quick questions? But it's got to be quick because we don't have much time, and then I want to pray. Yes. It was called Gaslight. That's the name of it. It was from 1944, and it was Ingrid Bergman and somebody else. I forget. I forget the guy's name. We don't care about the guy's name. And I can't recommend the movie that it's a good movie. I haven't seen it. I've just seen a little clip of it. But that's where the name comes from. Any other questions? Quick questions. Okay, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to be here for prayer, and our prayer ladies are going to be here for prayer. And if you want some personal prayer, please come down. Please come down. I want you to have prayer, all right? Father God, I just thank you so much that you are the breaker of cycles that are bad, Lord God, that you give us new hope, that you give us new life, that you give us new vision, that you heal what no one else can heal, Lord. You heal the broken heart. You heal the broken mind. God, you take us on new adventures when we turn our hearts towards you and leave the past behind. I pray for each woman in this place, Lord God, that they will be set free from the things that have kept them stuck, those that feel like their feet have been in cement and they can't go forward, Lord God. I just pray that you set them free and release them today by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, for those that are suffering depression and feel like there's nothing ahead of them, there's no hope. I pray, Lord God, that you come in and instill life in them where the enemy has come and brought thoughts of death and suicide and hopelessness. I pray you renew life and life abundant in them, Lord God, that they don't need to live in that place. I pray for those that need help, Lord, whether they have mental illness issues or whether they just need some counseling. I pray for the right help to come to them, Lord God. I thank you that you love each and every woman in this place, Lord Jesus, and that you have so much more for us than we can imagine, that you have so much love for us that we can't even imagine it. We see ourselves as unlovable many times. But God, you love us with a love that never ends, no matter what we've done, no matter what we do, you love us. And I pray that you draw each woman's heart towards you today, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have a question about what if you're co-parenting with somebody who's been gaslighting and you still have to deal with this person? That's an important question because they're still influencing you and they're influencing your kids. And one of the things that I did every time my kids had visitation with their dad, I didn't ever have to worry about physical abuse, and I was very thankful for that. But the words and that underlying stuff. So every time they would leave the house, I would pray for them, Lord, show them truth for truth and lies for lies. Help protect their mind that they see the truth, that they aren't under the influence of things that are not true. So pray over your kids because you can't stop them from seeing their dad, but you can pray a covering over them to protect their minds when they go and that they'll understand what is truth and what is not truth. And keep communication open with your kids without belittling their father. Keep communication open so that they know they can talk to you about the things that they've been told and they have questions about.